Okay, turn with me this morning to the book of Psalms, 147. And beginning with verse 1, let's hear the word of God. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem, he gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars and calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God. Now, Heavenly Father, we do ask your blessing as we look into your word. We ask that the Holy Spirit will illuminate the scriptures to us and that our hearts and our minds will be open to receive them. And I thank you for it. Amen. The psalmist begins this song with a command. He says, praise the Lord. If there's one thing that our human nature does not want to do, it's praise the Lord. We say that we're Christian. And we are, as long as we have that testimony, we have that faith in Christ. And we know that we ought to be able to praise the Lord. But sometimes the flesh resists and we're just too weak to resist the flesh. And we say, I know I should praise, but I can't praise. I'm just not up to it. Just not feeling like it today. Well, you know, God knows this as well. And so out of necessity, he reminds us to praise him. And he graces us with the ability to do it. God doesn't ask us to do something that we are incapable of doing. And since he is the one who strengthens, the one who controls, he makes it so we can just do as he says. Specifically in this psalm, we are called to praise God with singing. Now, when we're not in a corporate or a formal setting, what do we sing? Or do we sing? You know, a lot of folks are kind of self-conscious. And they will shun, singing because they will cling to the idea that they just have a poor voice. I just can't do it. But you know what? If you're alone in the car with the radio, or you're in the shower, we all sound like Caruso. Jonathan said, who's Caruso? Think Bruno Mars, but way better. Okay? We don't have any self-consciousness about our voices when we're in those settings. I mean, as far as we're concerned, nobody else hears us. You can crank that radio and sing right along, and you know what? It's no big deal. And then you look out of the corner of your eye, and you see somebody watching you, and you just say, whoop, well, okay. When we do sing, generally, the songs that we sing will reference what occupies our heart. From out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whether we're speaking just normally or if we're singing, if we're belting out a tune. The songs that we sing may be cheerful, or they may be sad, They may be silly songs. If you watch VeggieTales, you get to sing silly songs with Larry. Or the songs that we sing may even be rebellious. Yes, if you listen to secular music at all, do you remember back in the 80s, a little band called Twisted Sister, who said, we're not going to take it anymore. And we say, yeah, we're getting along with that. We can agree with that. We're not going to take it anymore. We're a little bit rebellious here in the songs that we sing. What's inside of us comes out. On the other hand, that may not be the case. The songs that we sing may be songs that are edifying and indeed may be full of praise. The psalmist tells us it is good, or it is a good thing to sing praises to our God. Spurgeon said it is good because it is right. Good because it is acceptable with God, beneficial to ourselves, and stimulating to our fellows. And if God's word instructs us to do something, how can it be wrong? What are we told in the 100th Psalm? We're told to come before his presence with singing. And in his letter to the Colossians, Paul wrote, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The scriptures encourage us over and over and over again to sing, to not be self-conscious about our voices, to just belt it out. He says, for it is pleasant, or it is delightful. When we are able to overcome the tendencies of our flesh, and you know, those tendencies which are simply to please ourselves, and we begin to sing his praise, the exercise can be a pleasant one. It can be delightful. What happens when we do that? We're no longer dwelling on our sadness, on our gloom, on our rebellion. Our focus runs from ourselves. If we are singing praise to Almighty God, we cannot have a focus upon ourselves. We have to be thinking of the Almighty. It goes from what makes us miserable, and it goes to the one from whom all blessings flow. It is pleasant. It's delightful. It is good to sing praises to God. And praise is beautiful. King James says, comely. But it means fitting. Singing our praise to God is not only good and pleasant, but it's beautiful. It's suitable. It is a part of what we should be. God is worthy and deserving of all praise, and specifically of our praise, in whatever form it takes, but especially in song. It's a suitable approach because it's what he instructs us to do in his word. You say, well, okay. All right. I know I should, but I don't. Well, that means you're rebellious. And you have to go to God and you say, forgive me for my rebellion and grace me ever a little more with the, desire. Help me, Lord, to be able to sing praises to you when I don't feel like it. Help me to overcome the flesh that so often dominates my life. And enable me to sing praise to your name. Sometimes, as a parent, you tell your child to do something. And the child may look at you and say, why? Generations of parents have had one simple comeback. I am your father or your mother, and I said so. Well, that answer may be less than satisfying, but it really should have no effect on the obedience of the child. Children should learn to respond to the voice of the parent. The parent says something, the child responds and obeys instantly. That's the way we want to train our kids. But because they're little sinners, they don't always do it that way. The child needs to recognize, ideally, the God-given authority that the parent has. That the parent is not just a parent, but he is a parent by the grace of God. His authority is God-given. And so that causes the child, should cause him to obey. Many times, though, a child will obey simply because he fears the consequences of disobedience. We can say, I am your father, I am your mother, and I said so, and that really is sufficient, but it really is missing the mark sometimes. We have a duty to be obedient. We have a duty to do as God commands. But you know what God did for us in His Word? He accompanied His requirements with some reasons. He gives us some reasons that go beyond our duty to praise Him. First, He says, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. Now, from the time of this writing, a few years down the road, Israel would be able to relate this to the captives coming home from Babylon. We certainly talked about that as we were going through the book of Daniel and that sort of thing. Well, Israel could look at this and they say, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. Well, yeah, he brought them out of Babylonian captivity. He's bringing them back. The holy city is being rebuilt and everything is going good. The temple's being raised up again. They'd be able to relate that to that. But in a spiritual sense, Jerusalem is sometimes used to refer to the church. Scriptures will use that. When the scripture refers to Israel, he's not talking about a geographical location. He's talking about the church. It says, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He is the builder. And He draws to Himself all who will come. The church has a work to do. Part of that work is evangelism. Do you know what is not required of us? We are required to evangelize. Do you know what is not required of the church? The church is not required to save souls. You know why? Because we can't. We have no ability to save a soul. That's Christ's business. God Almighty saves souls. Our responsibility is to relay the gospel. Say, look, friend, you're on the outs with God. You are a sinner. You were born a sinner. You have lived your life a sinner. And if there's any hope of you ever reestablishing a fellowship with the Almighty, it's going to be through the work of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit uses that work that we do, uses the words or however we go about our evangelistic activity. The Holy Spirit does the work. Our responsibility is to say, here it is. I'm bringing you a nice platter of succulent roast beef. I can't make you eat it. Here's a nice kale salad. Go for it. Can't make you eat it. We don't have the power to save souls. We have a responsibility to evangelize. Who could? You see here, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. Who could make the outcast, the downtrodden, the rebel? Who can make these a citizen of the kingdom of heaven except for Jesus Christ himself? Nobody. Our dependence is wholly in Christ. Completely in Christ. We can't score points. We can't earn our way. Christ gathers his people together. Christ redeemed his people. And he brings his people home. What other reason do we need to sing his praise? None, really. But you know what? God gave us some more reasons. He still went on. As we progressed through this psalm, he gave us some more. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Jesus is the great physician, and he tends to the very many ills of his people. All diseases which have their root in sin, but specifically, he speaks to those who are contrite in heart. Those who are bowed by their sin before a holy God. Those who are crushed by their own wickedness. He heals them. He gathers. He binds their wounds. Those who by God's grace have realized the depth of their own sin. He doesn't stand there with a hammer of judgment. He stands there to bind up your wounds, to heal your broken heart. We've been awakened by his grace to discover our need for a Savior. It's these upon whom his love is poured out to bind their wounds and begin the healing. Those who have been brokenhearted, those who have been wounded in their spirit, God loves to pour out his love upon you and bring you to health. Another reason for singing his praise. He counts the number of the stars and he calls them all by name. He has dominion over the entirety of his creation. I don't know about you. I'll just speak for me. I think it's silly. The different environmental movements and things that go out there, and you know, the big push of man-made climate change and that kind of a thing. The Almighty God is controlling his creation. Do you really think the creature can ruin what the Almighty has created? Can the creature destroy what the Almighty has created? No. No. It's God's. It's God's. It's his creation. These little worms that travel around on the planet have no idea. We tend as sinful human beings to think much more highly of ourselves than we ought. Yeah, but you know, when God wrote the Bible, he didn't know there were going to be cars. Really? Well, yeah, you know, he didn't know that, you know, there was going to be all these emissions going out there. It was going to go out and destroy the ozone. And pretty soon, you know, all the polar ice caps were going to melt off, and little polar bears are going to be sitting around on 3 feet pieces of ice going, "Where's my mommy?" You know, God didn't know all of it. That got by him somehow. How ridiculous is that? He has dominion over the entirety of his creation. How many stars are there? Pop quiz, pull out a piece of paper. How many stars are there? Start naming them. You ever hear, especially around the holidays, but it pops up once or twice, you know, during the rest of the year, there's a radio commercial for some outfit that will tell you, you want to do something special for your loved one, buy them a star. You know what? You send us X amount of money, and we will send documented proof to your loved one that there is a star, and it has their name now. Really? And they'll give you a map and show the location in the heavens as to where this star is. And somebody believes that because they keep advertising. You don't keep advertising if you're not selling, right? Somebody's doing it. But the scripture says the Almighty knows how many stars there are. And he calls each one by name. So some guy says, "Hey, there's a Fred star." And well, maybe that ain't Fred. Maybe that particular star is Eloise. You just don't know. But God does. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. He is great. He is magnanimous. He is infinite. He is inconceivably glorious. Do you see the failure of human language sometimes? It's all we have. It's how we have to communicate. But to say that God is great seems just not enough. We are to sing him praise because of that, because of his greatness. Do you know that our God is so powerful? He is so great that there is nothing that can thwart his plans or his ability to carry them out. God, in his providence, has ordained things to happen on his timetable. And they will happen. And they will be carried out according to his plan. We can make plans within reason. We can say, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And we can proceed to carry out our plans. But you know, sometimes when we do those things, something happens and they don't exactly turn out the way that we thought. Never happens with God. He is great and powerful, and nothing can thwart him. There is no enemy that can take him down. There are no speed bumps on God's road that throws him off course for a minute. It just doesn't happen. He is so powerful, has the ability to carry these things out, and yet he is not a tyrant. God is not tyrannical in his nature. Men could be. Can you imagine if men had the same type of power? What a disaster that would be. But he is not a tyrant. His understanding is infinite. There is nothing that he does not know. Surely as you walk life's pathway, you'll come across people who think that fits them. But it ain't so. There is actually nothing that God does not know. All the way and including those secret places in your heart that you're sure nobody else knows about. That no one else can see. God knows you thoroughly. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Some guys, when they get a taste of power, and we see them in offices of government, not even necessarily civil government, can be the simple government of your employer. They get a little powerful, and they really don't care about the people who work for them. They don't care about the little guy, if you would. They don't care about the one who struggles to try and make ends meet. They sit in their ivory tower, wherever they may be, and try and determine what have you done for me today? What have you done for me lately? God's not like that. God is more powerful than all those guys. And yet, it says, he lifts up the humble. He reaches down because he cares about you. And at your lowest moment, he's there to pick you up. But at the same time, those high and mighties, the wicked, he humbles. He brings down. We remember from Daniel that God raises up kings and he takes kings down. Whatever level of king that could be. If you're doing your best on your job to the glory of God, and you have and you work for a fellow who just doesn't get it, remember that God put him there for that purpose, and you know, that appointed time, and you're there for that appointed time. But God doesn't forget you. And the day will come when those who have exalted themselves in wickedness will be brought down. God lifts up the humble, and he brings down the wicked. Down to the ground, it says. Let me wrap this up with verse 7. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God. He gave us just a few reasons. He didn't have to give us any. He gave us a few reasons as to why it is good to praise the Lord with our song. Now it's time for us to put that into practice. It's time for us to say, all right, you know, all right, nobody has to stand up and sing a solo. We won't do that to you. But now is the time to take advantage of your private time. When you're driving in the car, when you're taking a shower, when you're the songs that you sing, let them be songs of praise to Almighty God. And if you do those things, you will benefit from that. Your spirit will be lifted. Because as you sing praises to God, he lifts the humble. He raises you up. Let's pray.